Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. How many of you are looking for the signs? You know, God gives us signs of His second coming, and certainly we should be looking for those signs. But you know, one of the signs is a falling away. So let me ask you this. Are you looking for the signs of falling? Are you looking for the signs of falling? Because they're there in the Bible. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Look with me in Luke chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading with verse 31. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him," this is Peter speaking, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we listen to these words that were spoken so long ago. God, such grave words, such sad words. And yet, God, they're words that could be spoken to each and every one of us. Because we know, God, that we're living in those last days. And we know, God, that one of the signs of the last days is a great falling away. God, we look around and we see it everywhere. But God, I wonder how many times we look at ourselves and say, are the signs of falling, are they in me? God, I pray you'll open our eyes today. I pray that we might see. Pray, God, Lord, that thy spirit might illuminate. And God might show us ourselves. Show us our needs. And God, impress upon us that we be not one of those who fall. Lord, have your way. Glorify thy Son. And God, if there be one in this house that's lost, oh my God, I pray today they'll get saved. And I pray, God, Lord, that we as Christians, that God will be drawn closer to thee. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Isn't it amazing how God uses ordinary people? I mean, look at Peter. Who was Peter? Peter, beloved, was a fisherman. That's all he was, a fisherman, unlearned, had no education. Nothing, beloved, really special about this man until one day, he met Jesus. And you know, when you meet Jesus, beloved, things change, amen? I mean, when you really meet him. Because you see, then, beloved, after meeting Jesus, he became Peter the disciple. Then he became Peter the preacher. He preached, beloved, on one sermon and 3,000 souls were saved that day. Then Peter, the apostle. Then Peter, the inspired writer of 2 epistles in our Bible. Oh, let me tell you, Peter had, beloved, an eventful life. But you know, as you look at Peter's life, it wasn't all good. I mean, there were some bad times for Peter too. But And you know, if we were to ask Peter, if we could ask Peter today, Peter, what was the worst day of your life? Was it Peter when you were nothing but a fisherman and he would say, oh no, no, I enjoyed fishing? Was it when Paul rebuked you? Was that a bad day in your life? And he said, no, I needed that. I was wrong. Was it when you lost your life, Peter? When you gave your life for the cause of Christ and they killed you as a martyr, was that the worst day in your life? And he said, no. No, that's the day I graduated. That's the day I went home to be with my Lord forever and ever and ever. Then what was it, Peter? What was the worst day of your life? Beloved, I believe he would say without reservation, it was the day I fell. It was the day I fell. It was the day I denied my Lord three times. Denied that I even knew him. And I deserted him as he went to that cross. Oh, that was the darkest, darkest day of my life, the day that I fell. Folks, that day caused Peter to weep in shame. That day, beloved, caused Peter to hurt the heart of Christ sharper, beloved, sharper than the nails that pierced his hands and his feet. I believe, beloved, it took Peter a good while to get over that day and what he did that day. I believe it stung his heart for years to come, even though Jesus forgave him. But that, folks, is the price for falling. For falling. And it tells us something. It tells us something about ourselves. It tells us, beloved, that you and I can fall too. Don't care how great you might think you are. I don't care what office or position you might hold. Beloved, we can fall too. I mean, here was a man, beloved, who had walked with Christ for 3 years, who had sat under his teaching, who had seen, beloved, his miracles one after the other, after the other, after the other. Yet in just a moment, he fell. He fell. Fell, beloved, to the point of denying Christ three times. Folks, if Peter can fall, guess what? So can I. So can you. And so can you. Now, Thank God, Peter repented and he was restored by the Lord and he went on to do great, great things for God. But folks, you know, I've known some who have fallen and they've never gotten up. I've known some, beloved, who have fallen and they got up, but they were never, never the servant that they were before. Oh, listen, how much better it is to keep from falling in the first place. And yet we're living in a period of time when God tells us there's going to be a great falling away. How much better if we don't fall at all? Somebody says, but preacher, how can we do that? I mean, we live in a sinful world, preacher. We live in bodies of flesh. And how can we keep from falling? Folks, we can keep from falling, listen to me, by recognizing the signs that lead to falling. The signs that lead to falling. And you know what? If you see the signs, that ought to tell you, hey, I need to do something here. Something's wrong. You know, if I got up tomorrow morning and I was broken out with boils from my head to my foot, that would be a sign to me that something's wrong. And I'd have to go to the doctor. I'd have to see what's going on. I'd have to see if there was a cure. And folks, if we see the signs of falling in us, hey, we better stop, because we're not talking about physical things here. We're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about eternity. We better stop, and we better see what's wrong. We better see. Let me share these signs of falling with you this morning. First of all, beloved, there was the sign of underestimating his enemy. Of underestimating his enemy. What did Jesus say? Simon, Simon, behold. In other words, look, Simon, look at this. Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. Did you get that, folks? Jesus said, Peter, Simon, the Satan, the God of this world, the devil, the wicked one, the destroyer, the anointed cherub, the one that Michael, the archangel, dare not bring a rallying accusation against, that powerful cherubim, he desires to have you. He desires to have you. You know what, folks? Fear should have filled his heart right then. Fear should have driven Peter, beloved, to his knees. And he should have cried, Lord Jesus, help me. Jesus, protect me. Jesus, let me stay close to you. Lord, I'm no match for the devil. I need thy embrace. I need thy power. I need thy strength. I need thy presence with me as never before. Let me walk close to you, Jesus. What did Peter do? He said, Lord, I'd go to prison for you. I'd die for you. In effect, beloved, he said, I'm not worried about the devil, Jesus. I can handle anything he throws at me. You know, the Lord must have looked at him and thought, Peter, that's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. You're crazy. You're crazy. He must have thought, you poor, blind, self-confident dunce. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what's coming against you. But Jesus was nice. He was so nice. See, he just stated what he knew would happen. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Folks, it was the Lord's way of saying, Peter, you of yourself are nothing for against Satan. No matter how strong you think you are, he will bring you so far down that you're going to deny you even knew me. You're going to do it three times. Three times. Folks, that statement again, that should have driven Peter to his knees. Oh, but not Peter. He was too strong. He was too spiritual. He had everything under control. He loved the Lord too much to ever do that. Oh, how he underestimated the power of Satan. And beloved, how he overestimated his own power. His own ability. Folks, Peter missed that first sign. First sign that a fall was coming. Listen to me. When you underestimate the devil and you overestimate your own power, you are on your way to a fall. You are on your way to a fall. You know what the Bible tells? It tells us not to think we are something when we are nothing. when we are nothing. Oh, I'm a preacher. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm this. I'm that. I'm the other. Listen, don't think yourself to be something when you are nothing. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Listen, what Jesus said to Peter is just as true for you and for me. Beloved, I'm telling you, the devil desires to have you and sift you as wheat. That ought to drive us to Jesus. That ought to drive us, beloved, to desire a closeness with him, a walk with him. It ought to drive us. If you're saved this morning, get it into your head and into your heart. You have an enemy. And beloved, his consuming desire is to have you. Is to have you. Now you think about that. And by the way, I don't know how many of you heard this junk that the head of the Jesuits came out with this past week. But he got up and said, hey, there is no person. I'm putting it in my own words. There is no personal devil. It's just something we use for a force, an evil force. Let me tell you something. Beloved, the devil came to Jesus, and it wasn't a force. It was a person, a personality, okay? It was Satan. It was real. Wasn't some abstract thing, beloved. The devil came to Jesus and tempted him. And tempted him. He wants you. He's real. And he wants you more than he wants a fire extinguisher in hell. More, beloved, than he wants the praise of the demonic hordes. More than he wants, beloved, the adoration of the fallen angels. Satan wants you. He wants you. Somebody said, preacher, why does he want me so bad? I mean, am I that important? No, not to him. But you are that important to God. To God. You see, he wants you because God loves you. Amen? He wants you because, beloved, God loves you so much. And oh, how he delights to hurt God. And the only way he can hurt God is by getting you. Is by getting you. It's just like, and I probably used this before. Richard's the biggest man in our church. So I always pick on him. Suppose I got mad with Richard. Like Satan's mad with God. Amen? And I wanted to hurt Richard. But let me tell you. Me trying to hurt Richard would be like Satan trying to hurt God. Hey, nobody can hurt God, amen? I mean, nobody can overcome God. So I couldn't overcome Richard. I mean, I ain't no fool. If I tried that, he'd beat me to death. I want some amens over there, Richard. He'd beat me to death. So what I got to do? I got to be cunning if I want to hurt him. I got to be sneaky. So what do I do? How can I hurt Richard? Boy, if I could hurt those that Richard loves, that would hurt Richard, wouldn't it? Beloved, that's what Satan's about. He can't hurt God, not face to face. Not not him confronting God himself. He can't do it. But beloved, he can tear the heart of God if he can get you, because he knows how much God loves you. He knows. He knows. That's why Satan, beloved, wants you. That's why he wanted Peter. Because he knew how much Jesus loved him. He knew how much God loved him. He knew. So, he was going after Peter. And likewise, beloved, he's going after you and me. He's going after us. Christian, you're a child of God. You've been born again, praise God. God is your father. And if Satan can hurt you, beloved, he hurts the heart of God. That's why he desires to have you. Another reason he desires to have you. You ready for this one? Because, Christian, he had you, but he lost you to Christ. Amen? He had you. But he lost you to Christ. He wants you back. You see, when you're lost, he doesn't desire you because he's got you. And I say this in love to anybody here who may have never received Christ by faith. Beloved, the devil don't desire you, because he's already got you. Oh, but that day, Christian, that you said yes to Jesus, God snatched you from his grasp, and he set you free from the wicked one, and he broke all the chains that Satan bound you with, the chain of sin, the chains of darkness, the chains of hopelessness, the chains of death, and Jesus gave you hope and light and life. So Satan wants you back. He desires to have you again. Do you believe that? I guess nobody does. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Listen to this. Turn in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I know you've probably heard this scripture a million times. But I want you to understand that Peter wrote this to Christians. He wrote this to Christians. Listen to what he said in verse 9. Verse 8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Christian, he wants to devour you. He is your enemy. He wants to destroy you. Now tell me, do you think you can handle him alone? This is the one that caused the world to bow to him before the flood. This is the one that caused David, a man after God's own heart, to sin with Bathsheba. This is the one who entered the heart of Judas and made him betray Christ. And now he wants you. If you think you can handle Satan on your own, that's the first sign you're headed for a fall. Oh, how you need to fall on your knees, not now, not just now, but every day, every day, every day, and say, "God, I know the devil wants me, but I trust you to hold me in your arms." To hold me in your arms. Second sign of falling. The second sign of falling is not believing. Now follow me. Not believing all God's word. Let me ask you, who was talking to Peter in our scripture? Come on.
Jesus.
And who in the world is Jesus? God in a body of flesh. Amen? So this was God talking to Peter. Amen? Now, look back on Peter's life up to that time. Did Peter believe Jesus? Did he believe what Jesus said? I believe he did. I mean, why else would he follow the Lord for 3 years? Why would he leave his occupation? Why would he leave his family? Oh, let me tell you, he believed Jesus. He wasn't like Judas. Judas was a fake follower. Peter, beloved, was a true follower of Jesus. So yes, he believed Jesus. Get this. In everything Jesus said. Everything except this one thing. What one thing, preacher? That Satan desired him. That he couldn't by himself withstand the devil. Peter didn't believe that. All those years of following Jesus, he believed everything. But he didn't believe that. You say, preacher, how do you know Peter didn't believe Jesus? Because after that, they went to Gethsemane. And Jesus took 3 of the disciples. Guess who they were? Peter, James, and John. And he went a little further. And he stopped and he said, you stay here. And I'm going to go on and you pray. You pray. Jesus went and began to pray. He come back to check on them. Guess what? They were asleep. He goes, he says, wakes them. He tells them, pray. He goes and he prays to the Father again. He comes back. They're asleep. He goes the 3rd time and he prays to the Father and he comes back and they are asleep. 3 times they are asleep. Folks, listen. If Peter had truly believed what Jesus had told him, brethren, he would have been praying. Hey, you tell me the devil's coming after. Let the Lord tell me the devil's coming after me. Brethren, I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to be praying because I know I'm no match for him. I'm going to be praying and praying and praying. I would be one night I wouldn't get any sleep. I'd be praying. But Peter was praying. Excuse me, Peter was sleeping. If Peter had believed, he would have been praying. So Peter believed all Jesus said except this one thing. Now, why did Peter believe, or why didn't Peter believe this? Because it went against what Peter himself believed. You see, Peter believed, beloved, he was too strong. He believed he was too spiritual. He believed that he could handle Satan on his own. What Jesus said was, no, you can't, Peter. No, you're not that strong. You're not that spiritual. You can't handle him. You're going to deny me 3 times. Peter wouldn't believe God because of what he falsely believed about himself. So you could say, Peter believed Jesus. Get this now. Peter believed Jesus until Jesus said something Peter didn't want to believe. He didn't want to believe he wasn't strong enough to handle Satan. He didn't want to believe that he wasn't spiritual enough. He didn't want to believe he was going to deny the Lord. So, Lord, I believe you in everything, but I won't believe you in that. I don't want to believe that. And folks, that's it. Listen to me. That's the 2nd sign that you are headed for a fall. When you believe God only when he says what you want to believe, you're headed for a fall. And I ought to be getting amens all over this church right now. All over. You see this? This is all the Word of God. And brethren, it is all true whether you believe it or not, it's all true. It's all true. Just think, if Peter had believed Christ on this thing, beloved, he would have prayed. He would have drawn closer to Jesus. He would have sought God's help and never denied the Lord three times. But he didn't. He didn't believe all that Jesus said. And Jesus knew that he didn't. That's why Jesus told him, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Because you don't believe me, Peter. You'll deny me three times. Let me ask you, is the second sign of falling in you? Is it in us? Do we believe all that Jesus said? Folks, everything God tells us, everything in this Bible is for our good and His glory. Amen. 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 God don't talk to be talking. Beloved, He's got a reason for everything He says. Look in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Listen to this. Verse 16. Notice the very first two words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. That means, beloved, every line, every prophecy, every word, every promise, every command is profitable to you and me for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, beloved, in right. Listen, God has a reason for it all, for all that He says. So why do some believe only what they want to believe and ignore the rest? I'm going to get real unpopular right here. But I'm telling you because I love you, okay? Some of you love to come up to me at the service and say, "Preacher, I don't want you to love me no more." But I'm going to love you anyway. Somebody says, "Preacher, who does that? Who only believes what they want to believe and ignore the rest? The one who hears God say, 'This commandment I give unto you, that you love one another,' and then you turn around and you hate, and you find fault, and you gossip, and you tear down, and you hold grudges? Hey, you only believe what you want to believe. The one, beloved, who hears God say, 'Be ye holy as I am holy,' and then go out, beloved, and lie and cheat and live and act like the world instead of like Christ. The one, beloved, who says pray, who hears God say pray without ceasing, and yet, beloved, they never pray unless some terrible thing comes in their life. Who does that, preacher? The one who hears God say, 'Bring the tithe into the storehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour ye out a blessing.' Ye have robbed me with the tithe," God says. And beloved, they give little or nothing back to God. The one who hears God says, "Be ye faithful." Uh-oh. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." And yet, beloved, they'll miss Sunday school, or they'll miss Sunday morning, or Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and come every once in a while. Oh, let me tell you something. You are choosing what you believe. By the way, you know that scripture in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some. You know what that's connected to? The second coming. He says, seeing that the time is here, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Let me ask you a question. Suppose I got up tonight. I told Martha, I don't want to go to church tonight. She said, who's going to preach for you? I called Brother George. Brother George, will you preach for me? He said, yeah, I'll preach for you. So I stay home. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I just don't want to go to church now, you know. I'm tired. I just don't want to go to church now. So I'm sitting there, you know, watching that boob tube on TV or TV. And all of a sudden, I hear a trumpet. And I hear the words come up hither. And woof, I'm not in my living room anymore. I'm standing before him. What in the world am I going to say? Lord, you came back. You came back and you caught me up. But God, I wasn't where you told me to be. I wasn't with my folks. I wasn't in church. And God says, yeah, I know. You didn't believe all that I said, did you? Did you? I'm telling you, when you start believing only what you want to believe concerning God's word, that's what Peter did. That's a sign that you are headed for a fall. And beloved, that's when you live carnal. That's when you start disobeying. That's when you start not serving. That's when you start missing services. That's when you start gossiping and hating and hurting. That's when you start, beloved, or that's when you're getting ready to fall. To fall. You see, all that leads to following afar off. And that's the third sign. Look at Luke 22, verse 54. I'm fixing to close. Luke 22, verse 54. Then they took him, that is Jesus, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And look at those next words. And Peter followed afar off. Afar off. You see, because Peter, beloved, underestimated the devil and overestimated his own strength, because he didn't listen and believe all that God said, he suddenly found himself following afar off. Now, he was still following, but he was afar off. And you want to say, oh, Peter, look at yourself. Look at where you are. You sat at Jesus' feet. You heard his whisper. Listen, you held his hand. You could have reached out and touched him any time, day or night. Look at where you are now. You are far, far, far from Christ. Or you can still see him. But only barely. You can still hear him, but hardly. You can still remember him, but vaguely. Look at how far you are from him. From him whom you were so close to. Folks, if you refuse to realize the danger of Satan, if you refuse to listen and believe all God says, there is no way, that you can stay close to Jesus. Peter was far from the Lord. And listen to me. It was only minutes. He was only minutes away from denying the Lord three times. The darkest day of Peter's life was just about to dawn. Peter, what was the worst day of your life? Oh, beyond a doubt, it was the day I fell. That day I actually denied my Lord. And you know, though He's forgiven me, bless His holy name, I don't know if I'll ever forgive myself for that day. As we watch the tears fall from His eyes, we asked in almost a whisper, Peter, why? Why did it ever come to that? Peter wipes the tears with his sleeve and he says, because I didn't see the signs. Oh Lord, if I'd only seen the signs. If I'd only seen the signs. I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you're lost. Oh, God loves you so much. He loves you so much that He gave His Son that you might have eternal, everlasting life. And you can have it if you just receive Him by faith, turning from your sin, turning to Him by faith. He'll save you. He'll give you heaven. And I want you to know, friend, there's nothing in the world like being saved. Nothing. Christian, the word that we confess to believe tells us that we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. And one of the signs of His soon coming is this falling away that we're seeing all around us. What about us? What about you and me? Are we going to fall away? I mean, here we are on the very doorstep of eternity and all the blessings of God. Are we going to fall away now? Do you see the signs? Do you see the signs? Do you see the signs in your life? In your family's life? In our church? Do you see the signs of falling? If you do, realize who this is. This is the evil one. Oh, we need to pray. How we need to draw nigh to Christ. Heavenly Father, God, have your way in every heart, in every life. Please, God, let none, beginning with me, let none fall away. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. I'm going to ask you to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed, as Martha plays. We invite you to come. We invite you to come. won't you come? 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 Won't you come?